All right, go ahead and grab your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy, this last letter that the apostle wrote to Timothy, and we're continuing our series called Honorable Mentions today, and we're going to go to a place that's cold and lonely. I know it's hot outside, it's the time of year, it's not very cold, but for the apostle Paul, he's writing this letter, this second letter to Timothy. By the way, it's the last known writing of Timothy of Paul that we have. So these are essentially, towards the end of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, these are the last words of apostle Paul to us. And he's cold and lonely. He's probably around 62 years old. It's 67 AD. He's in this. He's in a different jail situation than he was before. He's in the Mamertine dungeon, which is this really pit of a place in Rome. They actually had to lower the prisoners down in this dank, nasty, cold, dark place. And I can just imagine the Apostle Paul. Imagine with me how his body must feel. He's 62 years old. He's been beaten more times than he can imagine. He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been in prison all over the world. He's traveled by foot pretty much most of the known world. And now it's cold. Maybe that's why in the end of this letter he asked for Timothy, would you stop by Troas and get my cloak that I left with Carpus? Maybe he's cold. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's a little bit discouraged. He knows he's getting ready to die. He says in the end of this letter in 2 Timothy 4:6, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and I know that my time is near. It's not going to be very long. I'm going to be out of here. And but more than anything else, I don't think the Apostle Paul is afraid to die. I don't think the cold's not something he can get over, or the pain in his body. He's had that for a long time. What I think more than anything else overwhelms him right now is that he's alone. That he feels lonely. He's been deserted. In fact, towards the end of this letter, two times he uses the same word. He says, I've been deserted. And he feels alone. And so, the first time he was in Rome, he had all these people coming and going. He had friends. He was tied up, but he was under house arrest. And people could come and go, and they could bring him letters and give him reports of the churches, and he could keep in contact with them. And the church was growing. It was excited. He was never alone. But now he's lonely. He's by himself, and he mentions the fact that people have deserted him. Jesus is the same thing. J.K. referred to that. If you want to go back about 35 years in time, Jesus was cold and alone, hanging on a cross. Yeah, it's embarrassing, and yeah, it was painful. He was hanging naked in front of everybody, maybe thousands of spectators around to see this Roman execution, and it was painful. I mean, his back was torn open. He had endured a lot of blood loss. His life is ebbing away. But as J.K. said earlier, the thing that really got to Jesus was not the pain, even though it was physically painful. The thing that got to Jesus was that prayer that he prayed in both Matthew and Mark, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the same Greek word Paul uses here as deserted. My God, why have you deserted me? The very first time in his existence as a human being with all the sins of the world on his back, though he was fully God, God the Father turned away from him and he was alone. And that's the word we're going to talk about today. The word's deserted. And unfortunately, this word is the last word that we have about this guy in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 10. This guy named Demas. He at one time was an honorable mention. At one time, he was one of those guys that Paul was saying, oh man, he's my fellow worker. He's with you. He sends you greetings. He's really doing some great stuff for the kingdom, like the lives of people we've celebrated these last several weeks. But unfortunately, the last testimony about Demas is that Demas was deserted, or deserted Paul. And we want to learn from him today. Because the truth is that there's a lot of honorable mentions that sometimes desert. They sometimes walk away. And we don't want to be on that. We want to stay on the honorable mention list. We want to be the people that stick it through all the way to the end. So let's look at this one verse. It's just one verse today. But it's so powerful because this word, deserted, becomes the legacy of Demas. It's the last thing we know about him. And I hope that you're here today and you don't want this to be your last word and the last thing about you. So let's read this verse together. We'll read it a couple times because we've got time to do that. Verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Let's read that first part of that verse again. Let it sink in. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would that you would help us hear this sermon of the day. It's one simple verse and one guy, but we can learn so much from him. And I pray that today you would convict our hearts as you've convicted me this week, my life, and how I view this world. I pray that you'd touch all of us in here today. You call us all back home to you and help us in the end not to have this testimony that we've deserted and gone away. Help us to be the people that stick it through all the way to the end. And so, Lord, would you inspire us today, convict us, change us, speak to us. We ask this in the power of your Son, Jesus' name, his resurrection, the promise of hope of resurrection we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as Paul described in his latter days, he's in Rome, and people are gone. He's alone for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is that he's sending people everywhere. I mean, you can see in this one verse we read, you know, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus has gone to Dalmatia, Luke's the only one with him. He's sending people all over the world. We've talked about this before. He's pushing it all the way to the very end. Paul's not letting up. He's not stopping. He knows his time is short. He knows he's probably going to die, but he's like, I still have more to preach and more to do. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there's this one name that sticks out. Demas. He's gone too, and he's gone to Thessalonica. And that could be a good thing, but it's not a good thing because he's left them for the wrong reason. He's gone because he's fallen in love with the world. And so today, I want us to look at our own lives. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you off mission? Have you left the mission, the thing that God called you to, that he's gifted you to? Have you left it behind so that you can go after the stuff of the world? Now, this is not a very funny sermon. There's not a whole lot of funny ha-ha stuff in this sermon. Trust me, if you're visiting today, I'm very funny. In my own mind, in my own way, all right? But this is just not one of those things that brings a whole lot of jokes to the table. The reality is that this is serious stuff. And so today, I'm just prepare your heart. Ask yourself this question. Am I one of these honorable mentioned people, or am I Demas who has somehow left and gone somewhere else? So here's what he says. He says, here's the reason that he left. He's in love with this present world. Verse 10, Demas, in love with the present world. Literally in the Greek language, he's in love with this now age. He's in love with the here and now. He doesn't have a vision for the future like the Apostle Paul has. Paul's going, I know that I'm going to die, but to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord, and so I'm cool with that. Demas has somehow lost his focus, and he's focusing on the now age, the world, and he's in love with it. Does this mean that he walked away from the faith? We don't know. We don't know if this means that he just fell in love with the world, and out of love with Jesus, he said, I don't need Jesus anymore. I'm walking away from faith in Christ. I don't think particularly that's what Paul's saying here. Because the Apostle Paul was not one to mince words when he was really upset with somebody. He's actually, as we've studied in this series, he's handed people over to Satan before. He said they've shipwrecked their faith before. He doesn't say that about Demas. He just says Demas, he's in love with the world. And that's caused him to leave, to desert me. Here's what the question that we have to ask today. What does Paul mean by love this world? What does it mean? Because if somebody can walk away, if somebody's called a deserter, if someone's gone somewhere where they're not supposed to be, according to the Apostle Paul, then we should ask ourselves as Christians, how did he get there? Because it's a place we don't want to go. Paul says that because he's in love with this present age, this now age, what does that mean? Well, I had to look this week, and you know, the art of preaching is taking a short little sentence like this and talking about it for 35 minutes, which I'm very capable of doing. And that's what we're going to do today. But when you see this, when you look at that word, you go, he's fallen in love. He's in love with the present world. What does that mean? We had to look in the scriptures. And I looked at several scriptures this week talking about things that you could fall in love with. And so we're just going to conjecture for just a moment. Would you just kind of think this through with me as Demas? What was he in love with? What did he mean he was in love with the world? Could it be that he was in love with money? Because a lot of people fall in love with money. Maybe Demas was just tired of living a missionary life. Maybe he was just tired of wearing worn-out sandals and hand-me-down robes and leftover crusty bread because it was kind of a meager existence. Maybe he just wanted to, you know, make some money. Maybe he just wanted to buy a yacht that he could sail out onto the ocean, you know? Maybe he had a chance for a job in the markets of Thessalonica. If you wanted money, if you were in love with money, Thessalonica would be the place to go. It was one of the most powerful cities in the world. It had a lot of commerce and trade. and it had a harbor there that led into the place, and so people from all over the world came. It has a really nice Starbucks there on the water. I mean, it wasn't there when he was there, but I've been there. And it's a beautiful place, and there's, if you wanted to make money, you go to this place where there's several hundred thousand people, and you could probably make money. If it was about money, it would make sense for him to go to Thessalonica. Maybe he was in love with money. Paul's already talked to Timothy in his first letter about being rich. He says some people desiring to be rich, they fall in love with money and it leads to a whole lot of temptation. Maybe that's what it was with Demas. Maybe Demas just is tired of begging for money from churches to support him and being a missionary. Maybe he just was in love with money. Everyone's susceptible. It's the thing about money, you know. No matter who you are, you can be in love with money. Sometimes we think that rich people only are in love with money. Everybody's in love with money if you let it happen. I grew up very poor. You guys know this. I grew up in Indianapolis, and we were poor. We were government cheese and free lunches at school and all that kind of stuff. And you know what my family talked about and concerned about and prayed about and thought about all the time was money. We just thought if we had money, everything would be fine, right? But if you're a millionaire, you got tons of money, guess what you still think about all the time? Money. It's a really lousy companionship. It's a really lousy love relationship. Because here's the thing about money. It never loves you back. It doesn't care about you. And you spend all your time on it. 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul writes this. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Maybe Demas just wandered away because he was in love with money. Some people desert Jesus because they love money more. Maybe it wasn't money. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was public opinion. Maybe Demas, as he's hanging out in Rome with Paul, he goes, man, this Christianity thing is not as popular as it used to be. People are starting to make fun of us. People are keeping us out of the marketplace. People might even want to take our lives. You see, the first go-round, this was pretty exciting. The Apostle Paul was under arrest, but they really weren't keeping him under wraps. He was evangelizing the whole world. The world was being changed. People were coming to Christ. Churches were reimplanted. These guys were taking letters everywhere. Demas was one of those workers, and it was exciting, the beginning of the church worldwide. And then all of a sudden, Nero got even crazier. And the Roman opinion turned against Paul and all Christians, and now all kinds of persecution broke out. And maybe Demas was just going, you know what? I don't want to be labeled a Christian. I don't want to be with that group. And he said, I'm heading off to Thessalonica. You know, that's a possibility for some of us here today. That because the world has formed and promoted and believed maybe a wrong opinion about Christianity, that many, some of us in here, we're just ashamed of that. We are in love with popularity more than we're in love with Jesus. I know this seems weird, but you know, we live in a culture where people have the wrong impression about Christianity. They've made Christianity to be a bunch of bigoted people who are ignorant of scientific realities, Bible-believing, ignorant people. And that's who we are. Especially if you're here and you're a college student, you probably feel that pressure in a real way because you might have professors or a professor or a culture that says Christianity is outdated and doesn't make any sense and God's not real and the Bible's fake and all that stuff. And you go, man, it's hard to be a Christian in that sense. Some of you guys have that at your work because you work for a boss or you work in an office where it's kind of negative towards Christianity or somebody's had some bad experience with the church. And you go, I'm not really wanting to associate myself with Christianity. Maybe that's what happened to Demas. I happen to believe that the world has Christianity all wrong. I happen to believe that the Christianity and the church is the answer for the world, that we are the most loving place in the world. We are the least bigoted people in the world, that we are scientifically sustained, we're servant-oriented, that we're love-driven. The world needs the church now more than ever. Okay, amen? But here's the deal. The world doesn't believe that. So maybe like Demas, we're going, I don't want you to tie me in with those guys. I don't know. All I know is that happened in the time of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders in Jesus' time didn't want to be associated with Jesus. It says that some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't make it public, and here's why. John 12:43 says, they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Maybe maybe Demas was just more in love with popularity than he was with Jesus. And so he bolted. Maybe he was in love with other cares. Maybe it was just that the other stuff in life got in the way for Demas. It happens, you know. You get busy, you get in your schedule, and you get in your routine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just get on this treadmill of doing stuff, and all of a sudden the week's over. Yeah, Monday morning happens, and all of a sudden it's Saturday night. And you're like, what? Right? Maybe that was Demas. Maybe his family needed him to run some errands. Maybe his kids were competing in the upcoming Junior Olympics. Maybe he had to take his donkey to the shop for a 50,000-mile checkup. I don't know what he was doing, all right? Maybe he had some goals he wanted to achieve. Maybe he wanted to make a career. Maybe he wanted a vacation. We don't know what it was, but I would imagine that it's possible, at least, that Demas just had a bunch of other stuff get in the way. They just fell in love with the world gradually over time, and that eventually Jesus had no place there. You know, it happens that way. It's the Jesus and syndrome. You and I suffer from that in this culture. We all want Jesus and something, and a great career, and a great education, and our kids to be the next soccer star, football star, singing star, superstar. We want Jesus and we want our kids to get a great education. We want Jesus and we want a hot girlfriend or boyfriend. We want Jesus, and we want to advance in the company, and we want to spoil our grandkids, and we want to make a name for ourselves, and we want the latest technology, and we want on and on. And here's the problem with Jesus and. Because you and I all know. You all know this. We say this as Christians. We go, hey, you know what? I'm buying all this stuff to use it for the glory of God. Right? I'm Jesus and all this stuff. But the reality is that and really competes for Jesus' love. And the unfortunate part about Jesus and is that the and usually chokes out the Jesus in our hearts. Jesus says this in a parable when he talks about the word, the seed of God, being planted in someone's heart. He says this in Luke 8:14. As for what fell among the thorns, those who hear the word, but they go on their way. And listen to what it says. They're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and their fruit does not mature. Maybe Demas was a really good dude who just had too many thorns in his heart. He had too many cares. He had too many pleasurable things that he wanted to do. And he didn't mean to, but he just woke up one day and he was more in love with that stuff than he was with Jesus. And so he deserted. Sometimes people desert Jesus unintentionally over a period of time because they gradually fall in love with the other stuff, the Jesus and wins. Maybe you've been convicted by that this morning. I don't know. Maybe one more conjecture here. Was it fear for his life? Maybe he just loved his life more than he loved the ministry. And this is really a true possibility. In fact, if I read this in the context of this letter, knowing what's happening historically, there's a really good chance Demas said, I love the Lord, I like Paul's missionary ventures, I like being a fellow worker, but I ain't dying for this. I love my life too much. I love this present world too much. I'm not going to die. Historically speaking, this would make all kinds of sense because a time of terror and killing of Christians is getting ready to become the norm for about 250 years. The Roman Empire, every emperor up until Constantine, about 325 AD, is just going to slaughter Christians, and they're going to make a game of it. They're going to crucify them. They're going to use it for lampposts in their parties. They're going to line the roads for hundreds of miles with them on crucifixes. It's going to get nasty for Christians. Tons of Christians are going to die. Maybe Demas is not me. I'm going to Thessalonica. I'm taking off my Jesus shirt, and I'm going to Thessalonica. It's probably not our fear today, probably not our deal. We're probably, none of us in here are afraid for our lives when it comes to sharing our faith. But maybe it was for Demas. Revelation 12:11 honors the people that have gone before, people in glory that are Christians standing before the throne. It says this, they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, their witness. For they love not even their lives to the point of death. Maybe Demas couldn't pray that prayer. Maybe Demas couldn't make that commitment. What is it for you? What is the world flirting with you? Really, for this sermon to make sense, you're just going to have to answer these questions, because I can't get into every one of your hearts. The Holy Spirit hopefully is doing that right now. What are you falling in love with? Or let me say it differently. What in the world is flirting with you? If you were to cheat on Jesus, what would it be about? That's the question. Because that's what happened to Demas. Demas, in love with this present world, he fell in love with something other than Jesus, or the ministry that Paul had called him to. And so that leads to deserting. He deserted me. The word deserting obviously means to leave behind, to forsake. It's translated as forsaken a lot of times in the scriptures. And we'll point that out here in just a moment. But about 10 times in the New Testament, we have this word for deserting. Twice here at the end of Paul's letter to Timothy, he's deserted. What has he deserted exactly? What has he left behind? What has he forsaken? Well, first of all, he's left behind Christian relationships. Because he had relationship. He was in relationship with all the guys that were part of Paul's ministry. Remember Luke, or Colossians 4:14, we read this a little bit earlier. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. They were with him in that first jail time in Rome in the 60 to 62 era AD. And he was one of the guys. Hey, it's Luke. It's Demas, it's Mark, it's Aristarchus, it's all these cool dudes, they're hanging out. Hey, greetings. Remember we said that word greetings? It means welcome. It means to pull somebody in. It means really a hug. Greet you. We're together in this. Can you imagine the number of people that might have been let down because Demas had deserted his Christian relationship? Can you imagine how disappointed other people would be? He had deserted Paul. I mean, yes, he deserted other people, but he deserted Paul as well. Can you imagine? Here we are at the end of the life, Paul's life, and he feels like he's left behind. Paul cared, and he needed relationships. We've said this before. Just because Paul was an apostle did not make him a super Christian that didn't need the help and support and the love and care of other people around him. When he writes in Colossians 4:10, we studied this a couple weeks ago. He says, "These men are the only ones of the circumcision that are with me." In other words, I need people around me. In this letter, he says, do your best. Look at this a little bit further. He says, do your best to come to me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me in my ministry. He wants Mark to be there. Why? Because he needs other people to encourage him. He needs other people for companionship and prayer and love and support and fellowship. And these brothers, here's what I want to say. These brothers were at their very, very best. The Apostle Paul was at his very best when other people were surrounding him with fellowship. And we are at our very best when other people fellowship with us. That's why the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25. Now listen carefully, because this is the word deserted. It's translated neglecting here, but here's what it says in Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the Bible. Pastors love this verse. It's the Hebrews 10:25 go to church verse. You got to go to church. Says it in the Bible. This day. It says, don't neglect. In other words, it's the same word that Paul uses here. Don't desert meeting together. Don't desert the church. Don't desert the people around you. Let me hit hard here, because I want to ask you this question. Have you become a deserter like Demas? Then you might be saying, well, I'm not a deserter, I'm here. Yeah, but we live in a culture that is really easy to desert church and go for other stuff. Are you a deserter? Are you deserting other believers by your absence at a small group or church, or by not participating in a small group? It could be called desertion, because the people in that small group need you. When you skip small group because your teenage daughter broke her nail, or she's getting her nails done, or whatever excuse you come up with, you're deserting that small group. When your long work week and your kids' activities and your Sunday golf, or the worst thing that's getting ready to happen to our culture, the Bears season's getting ready to start, when it makes you skip church, guess what? You're deserting fellow believers. They need you here. If you're a guy in here, let me just talk to the men for just a moment, and you're not into that whole small group thing because it's going to be touchy-feeling. We're probably going to have to hold hands or something. I get it. I'm a guy like that. I happen to be a guy that likes holding hands and hugging people. But there's other guys in here who don't. And they're freaked out about the same small group experience as you are. And maybe you going into a small group will encourage them and help them find another guy that they can relate to. Maybe you're deserting another guy who feels just like you. Maybe you're deserting your spouse because your spouse has been begging you for years to get in a small group. I can't calculate all the different ways that it hurts the church, but here's what I know. Not showing up has exponential negative ramifications for the body. We simply can't calculate how bad it is when you miss church on Sunday morning. It's not just a number. It's all of us are left behind. He's deserted the work is what Paul says. He's deserted us. So Paul's going, I'm deserted. I'm here by myself. But he's also deserted the work. And don't take this for granted because there is still work to be done in the Apostle Paul's mind. Remember, Demas was called a fellow worker. In Philemon chapter 24, it's one chapter, verse 24. Philemon 24, it says this, and so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. Paul's saying there's still work to be done. And I got Luke still, and I got Mark still, and I got Aristarchus, we assume. But Demas, I can't count on him to get any work done. That word there that's used in Philemon 24, the Greek word sunergos, fellow worker, with, soon, ergos, work, with worker. It's the word we have in our English language, synergy. You know what synergy is, right? Just very simply, synergy says that two people working together is greater effort than the sum total of their parts. Let me illustrate it this way. You guys have probably heard this, but it's a great illustration. You know, the Belgian draft horse is probably the strongest and most powerful horse that we have in the world. A Belgian draft horse can pull by itself 8,000 pounds. That's pretty incredible. But synergy says, sunergos says, that if you put another Belgian draft horse with this guy, they should be able to pull together 16,000, right? They can pull together up to 24,000 pounds together. That's synergy. That's sunergos. That's working together. Demas was one of these work together guys. And you might just go, you know, sometimes we read the Bible and we go, Demas, who cares, Demas? Who needs Demas? We got Mark and Luke, they wrote the Bible. Mark wrote the gospel, Luke wrote the gospel and Acts. What was Demas going to do? We don't know. What we don't know is because Demas deserted the work, we don't know what ministry didn't get done. You might think that Demas is a throwaway guy, but with this whole series, this honorable mention series, has said in the kingdom of God, nobody is worthless. Nobody is throwaway. Every name matters. Every name has a purpose. And when you walk away from the work, guess what? The work is lessened. I don't know exactly what the ramifications are, but here's what I understand. That if Demas at one time was a worker in the synergy of the Christian church in the first century, when he walked away from that, they weren't as good. They didn't accomplish as much. And you might think that about you here at Eastview Christian Church. I talk to a lot of people, and again, one of the harshest things and one of the most misunderstood things about a mega church is that when you look around, you go, oh, they got plenty of workers. They got plenty of people. I don't know if you guys ever noticed these numbers that flash up here on the sides. I'm ADD, so I start looking at numbers and thinking somebody's pizza's ready or something. It's not that. Okay, that's our children's communication system. And today, at the very beginning of the service, the number 3,000 came on. Now, I happen to know there's medical emergencies and there's all kinds of different emergency things. 3,000 means they need more workers in the nursery or in the kids' view area. It means a lot of people have come in with children like, it should flash 3,000. Right? You look at a church this size, you think, they got plenty of help. They got plenty of people to do the work. We don't. We need more workers. God's gifted you, and he's made you with a purpose, and he's given you a passion. He's made you good at something, and the church needs you. We are less when you don't participate. We could have a better Kids View ministry if you would jump in. We could have a better high school ministry if you would add your talents and your gifts. We could have a better music ministry. We could have a better men's ministry and women's ministry and counseling ministry if you would just say, hey, you know what? I don't have much, but I'll put my lot in with this church. Listen, the only thing I can make of this verse is that Paul mentions Demas because it really mattered. Why else would he mention it? Why, at the end of his very life, when he's writing to Timothy, would he mention this guy that abandoned ship? Here's why. Because the work wasn't just the same, just wasn't the same without Demas. And for us at Eastview Christian Church and the kingdom work that's going on today, the work's just not the same without you. I'd love for you to get involved. I'd love for you to keep going. Don't desert the work that God's calling us to at Eastview Christian Church, because there is still work to be done. I have to look at this verse again in the context. Paul is not done. Even though he says, I am being poured out as a drink offering, the time of my departure has come, he's pushing all the way to the finish line. Paul's not going to desert at the end. He could have. Listen, you and I would have said, hey, God, I've done everything I can do. I'm tired. It's cold down here. My body hurts. What else do you want me to do? Okay? If you want me to do something, get me out of here. Could have just sat down there and sulked and been sad until Jesus took us home. Not Paul. He kept praying. He kept sending letters. He kept appealing for the cause of Christ. He kept watching the people that he was growing in the faith. I believe that probably the last moment before he was beheaded, he said a prayer for somebody. He was going to cross the finish line all the way because he knew there were still sermons to preach and churches to plant and letters to be delivered and cities to reach and lives to be changed and prayers to pray, helping hands to offer. Paul was not done. And here's what I believe deeply in my heart. You'll catch it in a couple weeks in the Vision Sunday, September 14th. I just believe that God has so much more to do at Eastview Christian Church. You have to look around at all the miraculous stuff that he's done, and you have to give him all the glory. It's no guy or gal that's done it. It's no wisdom of the world. God's done miraculous stuff here. Even this year, we'll celebrate it. But you have to ask yourself, every time God does something miraculous, you have to go, I wonder if he's done. Well, not if there's lost people. Not if there are orphans to rescue. Not if there are churches to plant. Not if there are co-workers to win to Christ. God's not done. And so the question then today is for me and you, is will we desert the work? Will we desert one another, or will we stay and throw ourselves into the work? I have to ask this question too. Where have you gone? Demas has gone to Thessalonica. That's where you can find him. He's not in the ministry anymore. He's not doing the work of the kingdom anymore. He's gone. Where have you gone? I don't know why he left. Maybe he was running from something. Maybe he was running to something that he thought he wanted. Maybe he's just running. He's aimlessly running around. And I don't know why those of you in here who are running away are running. But spiritually speaking, I know there's people in here who are running away from something. It's your past that haunts you, and you just don't want to go back, and you don't want anybody to know about it, and you're running from it. Some of you are running towards something. You have some goal. It's the worldly. It's this age present. It's this present world thing that you love, and you're pursuing it. And some of you are just wandering around, just running with no purpose whatsoever. I don't know why you've been gone spiritually, but here's my simple appeal to you. It's time to come home. I wish we knew that this story had a good twist. We just don't. We never hear of Demas ever again. The last we hear of Demas is he's deserted and gone to Thessalonica. We don't know his story, but there's a time for our story. You see, there was a time in Jesus' ministry where many people deserted him because of his teaching. I don't know if you remember the story in John 6, but Jesus had given this incredible teaching about following him, and it says at that point, many disciples turned and didn't follow him anymore. And he looked at his apostles, his 12 guys, and he asked this really honest question. He goes, you too? You gonna leave? And Peter has this incredible response. He says, Lord, this is one of Peter's good lines in the scripture. Peter says, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Paul's guys walked out on him too. His first defense, he says, no one came to me. No one stood by my side in verse 16. No one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. But you know what? He wasn't alone. Because he goes on to say that even though I was alone physically, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. And this is the promise that God gives us. That same word deserted, that same word that Paul uses twice, that the Bible talks about 10 times, is used most famously of Jesus Christ, where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never desert you. And so we're going to offer an invitation today. And I've got some staff and some elders that are going to come down here at the front. We're going to start singing here in just a moment. We got plenty of time. Even if you're up in the balcony, if the Lord's touched your heart today, I've got just two appeals in this place today. Number one, if you're here, we don't do this a whole lot. We used to do it all the time growing up. But maybe you just need to come and rededicate your life. You just need to come back and say, I love Jesus, not this present world. And I just want to say it publicly, and I want somebody to pray for me. And we'll do that. Maybe you need to come home and say, Jesus, I love you and nothing else. Rededicate to him today. Or maybe you've been deserted. Maybe you've been left alone. Maybe you understand what it means to be left behind. And you just need to come home to Jesus today, because he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so let's stand, and I'm going to pray. You guys go ahead and stand, and let me pray for you. And then as the Holy Spirit leads you today, come on down and pray with the volunteers, the staff members, and elders that we have, all right? God, thank you for a chance to preach your holy word. And it's such a small verse, but it's been working on my heart all week, and I'm thankful for that. And I just pray, Father, that you would now by your Holy Spirit call those who are wandering away to a different love home. And call those who have been deserted to someone who will never desert them, Jesus Christ. God, do your thing here in this time of worship together. May we sing these words with sincere hearts, focused on you and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.